Hey lady, I am so freaking jazzed that you're here. My name is Emily and I am a clinical social worker deeply passionate about what's going on in between our ears. I am here to help build up your toolbox against self-doubt, social comparison, and nasty self-talk to help keep you kind to your mind. You know, we all have something going on in that noggin of ours that isn't always kind. So let's put in the legwork and flex those mindset muscles so that we can move the mountains we were meant to freaking move. Let's go. Dude, what the hell is up? Hi. I missed you. Okay, I freaking missed you. And if this is the first episode of the Kind Mind Project that you are popping into your ear holes, let me start off by saying hi. My name's Emily. I'm so damn thankful that you're here. And if today is day one for you, it's kind of a freaking cool day for it to be day one, because today is episode 99 of the Kind Mind Project. For the past 99 weeks, I have been hopping on here to chat with you, to sit down with my fellow honeyhead and talk all things Kind Mind. And I needed to find a way to celebrate that. A way to celebrate that, because I think it deserves some celebration. You and I have been doing this for a minute now. We've been doing this for more than 99 minutes now, right? And I went over to Instagram and I asked you what you really, really needed to hear lately. And from the sounds of it, you've been an anxious pal, haven't you? Well, you rang and I am here to answer. And from the sounds of it, my dear friend, this is either something that is brand freaking new to you, or it has recently smacked you in the face in a way that it hasn't before, right? It's gone from zero to a freaking 100 when it comes to anxiety. Again, if you're new here, allow me to let you know right now, out the gate, that I am not going to let that happen. I won't let your inner anxiety voice be louder than your own. I just won't. If you've been around for a minute, you know that that's not how we roll over here. And before we get into this too deep, this is going to be a three-part series on the Kind Mind Project. Giving something like anxiety only one episode of our time, it just doesn't feel right to me. So we're going to give it the time it deserves in three separate parts, okay? So today we are going to get some of the groundwork out of the way. I think it's super important for us to start with, first of all, what anxiety is, right? A true one-on-one about what we're dealing with. Listen, this episode is, of course, not intended to serve as a mental health diagnosis. Your therapist and your doctor, that's theirs to dive into with you, okay? But it's important for us to distinguish that anxiety as an experience and anxiety as a mental health disorder are two very different things. Very different things. So I want to kick us off with that. Anxiety, the experience, and an anxiety disorder are two very different things. Okay, let's get into it. First of all, anxiety as an experience. The feeling of anxiety is a very normal reaction to stress or some kind of difficult time in your life, and it's triggered by a specific stressor. Basically, we know where it's coming from. Right? This doesn't just catch us out of nowhere. We're either in a time where stress levels are through the roof and we're super freaking anxious about it, or we're finding ourselves particularly triggered by something that causes us stress. Okay, so it's a normal reaction. I cannot say that enough. Every human being at some point experiences anxiety, the feeling of anxiety. But this also has a start and an end. It's got a starting point and an ending point, okay? And I think that one of the biggest distinctions that we can make is that it's a season, of life, right? We talk about different seasons and stages of our life a lot, but it has a very specific starting and ending point. I will also venture to say, my friend, that it can be helpful. The experience of anxiety can actually be helpful or maybe even motivating. And here's why. Tell me if you understand this in a way that's similar to the way that I do. Because when I look at the experience of anxiety, I say to myself, okay, those feelings that I'm having in that moment are because I am so wanting to act. I'm so wanting to do something, but I don't really know what the do is, right? I don't really know what the do is. There's nowhere to better way to say it. I don't know what the action step is. I don't know what the right next step is, but I can use that as a very helpful and motivating feeling. The fact that I am anxious, the fact that I am having an experience like this means that I care. I care a lot about what happens. And sometimes that feeling of anxiety or worry can be really uncomfortable and really frustrating, but I want to really bring home to you that this can also be helpful. We can also use this as motivation. This experience of anxiety does not have to be one that cripples us and causes us to halt completely, okay? You know I'm not going to let you do that. So I want you to remind yourself, yes, this experience of anxiety can be helpful and motivating. Oftentimes, the experience of anxiety, the feeling of anxiety, lessens significantly or disappears altogether when it is away from the things that are triggering it. When it's away from the things that are prompting that emotion or prompting that worry, it goes down significantly or it hits the road. Okay, important for us to know that. And this is something that the simplest experience of taking a moment to relax, taking a moment to step away, taking a moment to do some self-care, those activities often help us feel better. They often get us some clarity. They often help us refocus. But that's the experience of anxiety, this feeling of anxiety as an emotion. Knowing that it is a response to toxic or stressful situations is huge, okay? This feeling of anxiety is a response. But how do we know when our experience of anxiety is creeping into a realm that's not as normal as we would like it to be? And I don't really like using the word normal. You know that by now. But when our feelings of anxiety are abnormal and unfit for the situation, right? Number one, this often comes out of nowhere. When our feelings of anxiety are really coming out of nowhere, we're not in a season of life that's really prompting it. We're not finding ourselves being triggered by certain situations. When it's coming out of nowhere, that's an abnormal response. Or when our response is disproportionate or really we have this intense emotional fear response, that's kind of when we know our reaction is unfit to the scenario itself. That might raise some concern for us. It also might raise some concern if these moments of anxiety are ongoing, if they are lasting weeks or months or years. We might raise some concern there as well. The big thing that we know about anxiety disorders is that they start to interfere with your day-to-day life. They start to get in the way of your ability to function on the day-to-day, right? And it also feels impossible to control or manage that worry. It feels impossible to be able to take a moment to relax or step away or do some self-care or get our mind off of it. That's one of the biggest differences. Okay, and the last one that I think is really important to recognize is that in our anxiety disorder kind of realm, we have a lot of physical symptoms that come along with it. And we'll talk about these a little bit more in detail, but to kind of get your brain rolling on them. A lot of people with anxiety disorders experience digestion issues. They experience things like panic attacks. They experience things like insomnia or really significant irritability. These are some of the more physical symptoms that we might start to notice. Okay, so there's our distinction between the two. Again, I will say this until the cows come home. If you are finding that you're checking a lot of the boxes in that second section, that anxiety disorder piece, this is not the end-all be-all. Just because you sat here and you listened to the episode of this weirdo on this podcast does not mean you have an anxiety disorder. If those things raise some concern for you and you checked a lot of those boxes in that second section, I want you to call your doctor. Okay, and I want you to start a conversation with them. This is nothing for us to spiral about, okay? I know you well enough to know that we might spring to action and want to do that, right? But this means that if we are raising some concern, we're going to take care of it the same way we would take care of our physical health, right? Call your doctor, start a conversation. But for now, I want us to stick to the basics. So no spiraling or jumping to conclusions that we don't have all the answers yet, okay? Okay. When we're feeling particularly anxious, we have two types of symptoms or experiences that happen, right? We have the physical side of things and we have the psychological side of things. The reason why I wanted to kick off 101 of this series on anxiety with this is because it's really important for us to be able to call out those experiences so that we notice them in the moment, right? The more that you're able to call out your anxiety in the moment, the more conscious you are in responding to it. So let's start with the physical stuff. So what the heck might be going on for us physically? Physically, when we're anxious, we might start to notice that our heart is racing, right? Our body is responding to something that is causing us a lot of worry. Our heart might start to race, be pounding in our chest, right? We also might experience some of that chest tightness or even just muscle tightness in general, right? Our body is so tense because it's so busy worrying. So we may experience some chest tightness, some muscle tension. We might also start sweating, okay? We're in a fight or flight kind of place when we're experiencing anxiety, and that might cause our body to sweat, right? It's putting in a lot of work. We might have that trembling kind of feeling. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I know certainly I have. When I'm feeling particularly anxious, I might start to tremble a little bit, have a little shakiness to me, because that is also, right, this moment where I'm wanting to act, I'm wanting to do something, but I don't know what, and that scares the shit out of me, so I start to tremble, right? In extreme cases, we may have this feeling of almost like choking or having difficulty breathing. Yes, that sounds really scary, right? And it absolutely is. I need you to know that in those moments, that really is kind of our body responding to panic, our body responding in a way that matches the thoughts that we're having. Right? If you are someone that has been dealing with anxiety for a while, you know that when I get super heightened in that place of anxiety and overwhelm, it literally feels like I can't breathe. Feels like I can't breathe. And again, that's in extreme cases. We will get to that more later on in our series on anxiety. But for the moment, some of those physical symptoms might feel like sensations of not being able to breathe or having difficulty breathing. We may also feel dizzy, right? And some of that is from the overwhelm of the thoughts that we're having, but also our bodies, again, our body's response to panic. This last one is one that I really identify with in my experience with anxiety. Maybe you do too, but this feeling of nausea. Nausea or my stomach being really freaking upset because, again, my body is responding to being uncomfortable and I'm worrying to the point of physical symptoms, right? So some of these are in extreme cases, and some of these you may experience in your relationship with anxiety as well. But that's the physical side of things. So let's get to the psychological piece. Psychologically, I'm having all the worry thoughts in the world. I'm saying all of the what ifs and the assumptions and everything in between. If you want to dive deeper into worry thoughts specifically, I have a full episode on worry thoughts. Go check it out. How we can challenge some of those worry thoughts. Go check it out. But we're also psychologically having a really difficult time paying attention, concentrating. Those things are really freaking difficult when we're dealing with anxious thoughts and worry thoughts and moments of panic or anxiety. But we're also experiencing some sleep difficulty. When I am laying in bed worried about what the hell's going to happen the next day or whatever my worry thought is, right? I can't sleep. I'm laying awake because my brain is not going to let me slow down enough to take care of myself and go the hell to bed. You might notice yourself feeling really freaking restless and fidgety. That irritability feeling that we were talking about, like everything is kind of setting us off, right? Maybe not setting us off, but really making us irritable, okay? We might also find ourselves being really hypervigilant or really picky and having this feeling of a fear of losing control, right? I don't know about you, but when I experience this moment of anxiety and overwhelm, really, I feel like everything's out of control. And then I'm just focusing on the fact that things are out of control. And then that spirals into more and it's just a mess, right? So there are some of the psychological experiences that we may have, as well as some of the physical ones. And whether you experience all of these or none of these or one of these, you know the weight that this train of thought puts on you. Because living with anxiety, whether it's the experience of anxiety and anxiety disorder, it really doesn't matter. Living with anxiety is like being followed by this really crappy voice. And it knows all of your insecurities and it uses them against you. And it gets to the point where it's the loudest voice in the room. The loudest voice in the room. The only one that you can hear. So what I believe is the first thing we can do to kick off this series is to get your voice back on the mic. Get your voice back in the driver's seat and taking control again, right? Because I don't want that anxiety voice being the loudest, and I don't think you do either. So it only feels right to end Anxiety 101 with a few reminders and pointers for speaking to your voice of anxiety in your head, and the ways that it has helped me previously. I hope it will also find you and your anxiety voice and be able to assist you through that. Okay, so right now, I need you to sit down, right? I need the you voice, my honey head voice, to sit down for a minute because I need to talk to your anxiety voice. I need to get real with your anxiety voice because it's not been in its place recently, and I need to put it back where it belongs, okay? And I think I might do this in a way that you might not be expecting. So, anxiety voice of my friend, my resilient and honey head of a home fry, I need you to know this. I need you to know that, first of all, I understand that you're anxious. It's okay for you to feel anxious and to be stressed, but I need you to know that in spite of those thoughts, in spite of those worries, you are someone that for 99 episodes, I've had the opportunity to get to know, and I know that you're resilient. I know that you're incredibly strong, stronger than the voice that's trying to take over right now. To that voice, I need to tell it first and foremost that everything, all the things that you're worrying about, everything is going to be okay. Everything is happening for your highest good. And the point of power, The point of power, when you can have the most power, is the present moment. You are here in the present moment right now listening to this episode, and that's when you have the most power that you can have over this anxious voice. I want you to forgive yourself now and set yourself free from all of those things. And if you have the courage with me in your headphones or me in your car speaker, wherever the hell you're listening to my weirdo self right now, to repeat after me, I hope that you do. Because here are some of the phrases, some of the mantras that have helped me in moments of anxiety. So here it goes. I am enough just as I am right now. It's okay for me to feel anxious, for me to feel stressed. I am a resilient person. I'm a strong person. And everything is going to be okay. Everything is happening for my highest good. The point of power is the present moment. And I'm here in the present moment right now. And I forgive myself now and set myself free from that anxious voice. I choose to inhale calm and peace with every breath I take in, and to let that anxious voice sit down for a minute and rest. My brain has gotten me to the point of overwhelm where it's sending me wrong signals. But right now, I'm safe. I know how to cope, and I trust myself. And this feeling is not going to last forever. This next one was big for me, and I hope that wherever you are, you're repeating it. Thank you for the warning, but I'm okay. I'm going to say that one again. Thank you for the warning, but I'm okay. I accept this feeling. I've felt this way before, and nothing bad happened. I'm able to manage my feelings in a healthy way. Anxiety is not going to stop me from doing the things that I want. And I don't have to do this alone, because there are other people that experience it too. Now, I got a little wooey on you there, okay? I got a little sappy on you there, but here is the deal, okay? I firmly believe, and I have believed this for a while, I firmly believe that if you adopt a mantra as your own and you repeat it to yourself when you're not overwhelmed and when you're totally chilling, that when you're not chilling, that mantra is going to come to mind. For me, it was the one that I repeated back to you. When I was in a moment of super high anxiety, I trained myself to repeat back to myself in those moments when I was anxious and worried and spiraling. It became second nature for me to say, hey, body, thank you for the warning, but I'm okay. And I think this one in particular does something really cool. It's able to validate the feeling and be like, hey, you know what, body, I notice you. Hey, thanks for working for me. Thanks for working for me. Thanks for communicating with me, but I want you to know that I got this. That was the mantra that really stuck with me, and I hope that through all of the ones I just read to you, that you're able to find one that does the same for you. Like I said, today we are starting at the basics, the very basics, what we experience in our body in moments of anxiety, what we experience in our noggin in moments of anxiety, and when's the time where we're creeping into the abnormal space that we can seek out resources to help us. Right? Like I said a million times over, this is not an end-all be-all. This is not a diagnosis of an anxiety disorder. But what it is a way for you to start from square one if this is something that's new to you. For you to start from square one if this is something that has totally caught you off guard and you don't know what the hell to do with it. I hope that you adopt one of those mantras as your own, and that you come back to us for Anxiety 201, part 2 of this anxiety series, so that we can dive even deeper. Anxiety is a beast in itself, okay? And one episode, even 25 minutes in, is not enough. It's not enough for us to give it the time that it's worth. So Anxiety 201 is going to be coming to you, but also episode 100 of the Kind Mind Project, I have a little something special cooking up for you. So my anxious friend, first of all, I see you, I hear you, I am you, I love you, and I will talk to you very freaking soon. Be kind. Dude, thank you so much for including the Kind Mind and this freaking weirdo in your growth journey. If you connected with today's episode, I would love to hear about it. So slide on over into my Instagram DMs at Emily and the Kind Mind and let a girl know, okay? But until then, I will talk to you very soon. I love you so much, and you stay kind to that freaking mind.